Thank you. You may be seated. Hopefully this thing won't pop and carry on. I'll try to stay a little bit more still, and it might not pop your eardrums out. See, I'm just standing still and pop. Not sure what's causing it, but we'll figure it out one of these days. I do have a couple of postcards here from our missionaries over in East Asia. Did we get these in the mail this week? Couple weeks ago, okay. So we'll put them on the bulletin board down there. You'll have a chance to read them, little notes to us, thanking us for our prayers and our support. And we did get a recognition on Facebook. Y'all do that from the Annie Armstrong people, thanking us for our $1,245 that we raised and liking our website and all that kind of stuff. And that was neat because they reposted our post, so that got out to all the contacts out there of the Annie Armstrong offering, thousands and thousands of followers. So that was pretty good. So. Yes, ma'am. Is he Southern Baptist? Indirectly, we would if he's Southern Baptist. Oh, the Peart family. Yeah, they are Southern Baptist, aren't they? Aren't they taken care of by the Annie Armstrong and everything? Yes. Indirectly, yes. Not directly. We don't send them anything directly. But we send it through the Southern Baptist. So, yeah. All right. Remember the theme? Does anybody remember from last week the theme? Mac, I'm going to quit. I'm going to give up. 7:20. Y'all remember that? 7:20. Mac didn't even remember, and she got woken up by the alarm this morning. Ha! Mercy. Mark. We're going to talk about the book of Mark. And the seventh chapter of the book of Mark. Now, what Jesus is going to try to explain to the people of his day, the people that have gathered around him to learn who he is and what he represents and what his teaching is, that they've gathered to learn. And what he's going to do through this opportunity is to try to teach a very simple truth to the people around him. But to us, it seems very, very simple. The idea is that you can eat any nasty thing, anything nasty, and it'll just go right on through your body and it won't defile you. However, you can put out, you can have output from your body that does defile you. Now, we'll get into how Jesus described that in more detail, but the important thing for you to realize now is that the Jewish faith is a very, very particular about what they eat and how they eat it. You heard the term kosher, things being kosher. Animals that are killed and eaten by Jewish people have to be killed a certain way. They have to be handled a certain way. The big thing in the pickle industry, y'all have eaten kosher deals all your life, haven't you? Well, in order for the pickle company to put the word kosher on the bottle, it has to be handled in a certain way and prepared in a certain way so that Jews can partake of it without offending God, without violating the law of the Jewish faith. Food preparation and cleanliness before you eat food was a big deal. Back in verse 2 of chapter 7 that I don't have up on screen right now, the Pharisees came to Jesus after having seen the disciples eating bread without washing their hands. And they pitched a fit. They are violating the Jewish law. How can you support them when they're violating the Jewish law? How can you allow them to stay around you when they're not keeping the law? And so what Jesus is doing now is he's upsetting the apple cart. And he says in these verses, he says, "And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand." Now, that's kind of like that, the passages of Scripture where Jesus uses the term, verily, verily. You know that term, verily, verily? Whenever, I'm sorry, hopefully this thing will settle down. Whenever you see in the Scripture the terms verily, verily, side by side, you better pay attention. Something important is fixing to be said. Well, here Jesus took that one step further and said, "Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand this." This has got to be understood. And it doesn't limit itself just to the people who are around Jesus at this point. It comes to us too here in 2020. We need to listen and understand what he's fixing to say. On in verse 15, he says, "There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him." There's nothing that I can eat, whether it's clean or dirty. I could go out here and pick up a possum roadkill out of the road and eat it, and it's not going to defile me. Now, it might make me sick, but it will not defile me. Now, what Jesus is trying to teach them is that there is a difference between the body and the soul. And he's talking about the defiling here of the soul. Eating unclean animals for a Jew was a sin and perceived to be a sin against God because it's a violation of the rules. But what Jesus is saying is that, look, just because you eat something unclean, it doesn't defile your soul. It might defile your body. It might make you sick. It might kill you. But it will not defile your soul. He goes on to say, "But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man." It's what's coming out of us. Now, you see already how this links back to last week? Matthew 7:20 was what? Does anybody remember, without looking, what Matthew 7:20 was talking about? You are to be a... I am so disappointed. You're supposed to be a fruit inspector, right? Max over here saying, "Oh yeah, that's right. Oh yeah, that's right. That's right." Goodness, do I have to call you on the phone every week, every day, remind you? You have to be a fruit inspector. So if you have to be a fruit inspector, now God is talking about the output of a man can defile their hearts. In other words, what a man does is worthy of the inspection. So these two passages, 7:20 of Matthew and 7:20 of Mark, are completely and totally linked together. He goes on to finish in verse 16, "If any man have ears, let him hear." Jesus is not interested, when he's teaching all these people on the hillside, he is not interested in ritual. He's not interested in traditional acts. He's not interested in keeping the dots and tittles of an archaic law. He is interested in the soul of a man. And he judges the soul of the man not by what he takes in, but what he puts out. Now this is we're talking primarily about food here. We're not talking about the things of the world out there that are inherently evil that you should not partake of. Okay? He's not saying that you can just go out and take in all the alcohol, the porn, all the stuff that's out there available to the world. You can't keep taking that stuff in because it will mess with your mind. You can't do all of that stuff. He's not saying that it's okay to do that. What he's saying here is really kind of pointed toward the Jewish laws centered around the consumption and preparation of food. He wants to teach a lesson. that what comes out of a man is how you judge a man. What comes out of a man is what can defile the man. Because it's all about the soul. Barclay said that of this particular passage, although it seems to us that it's just a minor issue to deal with, the passage actually is a very revolutionary statement. In fact, he qualifies it as one of the most revolutionary statements in the New Testament, because he is beginning to teach the Jewish people that there is life beyond the law. The law is meant to guide. The law is meant to protect. Now, who in here would grab a loaf of bread and begin eating it without washing your hands? Anybody? Shame on you if you do, right? Because what does washing your hands do in this age of COVID? What does washing your hands do? It eliminates the germs, right? It eliminates the bacteria. It eliminates the things that could potentially make you sick or could potentially make you take your life. It could end up killing you. So those laws are wise, and there is effect for them, and there's reason behind them, but they are not soul-changing laws. And what Jesus is beginning to explain to the Jews is that they have concentrated and focused so literally on the dots and tittles of the law that they miss the condition of their soul. And you can do that. There are churches, there are tons and tons of churches out there that have gotten so wrapped up in the letter of the law that they've missed the condition of their souls and the simplicity of the plan of salvation. He also refers back to, in verse 10, to one of the Ten Commandments. There is a very high level of respect paid in the Jewish faith to the Ten Commandments. One of those commandments is to honor thy father and thy mother. Now, you are to, one of the commentaries that I read put it this way, that you're to obey without question your parents until you reach the age of adulthood, and then you're to honor them the rest of your life. And that's the way we do. That's the way the Bible teaches us to do, is to honor our father and mother. But Jesus pointed that out because he indicated, or not indicated is not the right word, he referred to a law within the Jewish sect that a child, a son, could declare all of his goods as Corban. You see that in the scripture, in reading in verse 10 and 11, you'll see the word Corban. And I looked up that word and I studied on that word a little bit, and it seems to me like this is a way out. So let's say that I was a very wealthy person. And my mother and father were not. They were poor. And somebody came to me and said, well, you're not taking care. You're not honoring your mother and your father. You're not taking care of them. You're not keeping that commandment. You're not taking care. Well, I don't have to. Well, why don't you? Because I've declared all my goods Corban. All my goods belong to God. Now, I'm enjoying them. I love them. I love having them all, but they belong to God. I've declared that they belong to God. Therefore, I do not have to use them to take care of my mother and father. See, the law can be written in such a way to get you out of the penalty of that law. It reminded me so much when I was reading that of our congressman. Our U.S. congressman and the state congressman do it all the time. This law applies to all citizens of the United States of America except for us. That's right. Social Security. All Americans have to participate in Social Security except for us. All citizens have to participate in Medicare except for us. All citizens had to do the Affordable Health Care Plan, the Obamacare, except for us. We have our own program. We have our own retirement, we have our own Medicare, we have our own health plan, we have everything and it's going to be paid for the rest of our lives. If you stay in the House of Representatives a certain number of years, then when you leave the House of Representatives, you continue to receive your salary as a representative for the rest of your life. That's a pretty good deal. That's why people pay millions of dollars to get elected. Same thing was happening here with the Jews. They were making rules to get them out of having to obey the rules. So all the rules apply to everyone else and not necessarily to me. Okay, in verse 17, he goes on to say, "And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples came to him concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? Come on, guys. You've been with me all this time. You can't figure this out yet. Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into a man, it cannot defile him?" Doesn't this sound just like what he said in verse 15? I mean, he's just repeating the same thing over again because these knuckleheads can't get it through their heads. All right? "Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meat." So, in other words, whatever comes in food-wise is just purged through your body. Trust me, you all know, and I do too, whatever goes in is going to come out one way or the other. Right? There's no exceptions to that rule. Right? If you put it in, it is going to come out. That's just the fact of life. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, don't you understand? It just passes through. Can it make you sick? Can it? Yes, it can do all those things. But it just passed through. Now, one thing that I kind of captured on this scripture that was not the intent of Jesus' words, but it pops out to me, is that aren't our bodies wonderfully made? That we can do that? We can eat things? We can take in things? And our immune system will protect us from the damages that input can do to our physical bodies. In the body, a marvelous machine that it can take in a ribeye steak and process it in such a way that I gain strength and sustenance, and the waste, the leftover of it, is expelled. If you don't see the miracle in that, then you're not keeping your eyes open. That's an amazing thing for that to happen. But it doesn't affect the heart. It affects the belly. It affects the intestines. It affects the liver, the pancreas, the appendix, if you have one. I don't. It affects all the organs of your body. It affects the body itself. But it doesn't affect your heart. Now, it's not talking about the physical heart. It's talking about the spiritual heart. It doesn't affect your soul. And then, of course, he steps into verse 20. That's the key verse, right? Verse 20 is the key verse. And he said, "That which cometh out of a man, that defileth the man." You got to read this with the right punctuation on the right words, right? And he said, "That which cometh out of a man, that defileth a man." And Christ is much more concerned with what is coming out of the man than what is going into the man. That just makes a whole lot of sense. Right? So we need to not be so focused on rituals, on traditions, on all the trappings of what we do in worshiping God. We need to be focused on the condition of the heart. We need to be, first of all, secure in our knowledge that we are born again Christians, that we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, and He is Master and Lord of our life. Get that part straight first. And then we need to fill ourselves with this book, Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. You need to fill yourself with this book because this is how we input good things to create output of good things, spiritually speaking. Now, I could sit here and enumerate all the good things that we as Christians can put out. Love, mercy, grace, help, nurturing, all the gifts of the Spirit that are outlined in Corinthians, Ephesians, and all the books that Paul wrote back to the churches. All of those gifts are the output that Jesus is looking for out of our lives. But he is warning the disciples that the output can defile the soul. Now, what is that output that defiles the soul? He enumerates it in completion. 13 sins. Beginning in verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Now, I am not a big Kanye West fan. Y'all have heard of Kanye West, right? Yes? Yes, you've heard of Kanye? Okay. But I heard him say the other day, I think it was on the radio, it was an excerpt played of his talk, that he's guilty of abortion. Think about that. Living with that the rest of your life. There was, he apologized to Kim. And it became a big news story because now he's very much pro-life and supporting that. Matt, refresh my memory. It just came back to my memory. It was a preacher we were listening to on the radio, wasn't it? On 106.9. Well, I think it was focused on the family. The guy was talking about the fact that when he was young, 17, 18 year old, his girlfriend got pregnant, and he encouraged her and paid for the abortion. And then he became a Christian, and his testimony was that he paid for the abortion, and he couldn't live with the guilt. The guilt just haunted him, and the guilt eventually led him to Christ. And then his girlfriend, his former girlfriend, sat in the congregation and came to him after the service and said, "No, you did worse than that." And he said, "What do you mean?" And the girl said, "No, you basically coerced me to have the abortion. I didn't want it. And you made me have it. You said you wouldn't support me. You said you wouldn't be there. You coerced me. You did worse than paying for it. You coerced me." And now he's living with that guilt and struggling for Christ to take that guilt away because she was right. That's exactly what he did. What comes out defiles the heart. What comes out, the evil thoughts, the evil deeds, the wickedness, the deceit, all of that, the self-pride, the foolishness, the blasphemy. The blasphemy is a big thing against Christ. Spurgeon made this comment about it. He says, "The source from which these rivers of pollution proceed is the natural heart of man. Sin is not a splash of mud upon man's exterior. It is the filth generated within himself." We are born with a carnal nature, and we have a propensity to sin. And Satan and his demons take advantage of that carnal nature, and they lead us into all kinds of debauchery. And it comes from the human heart. And it can only be healed, it can only be cleansed, it can only be treated by Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And once it has been treated, then the guilt should be gone. The penalty of that sin is eradicated and you are cleansed from within. So it changes these 13 traits of evil coming out of the heart to all the many gifts that God has explained to us later in the New Testament coming out of the heart. All the love, all the grace, all the mercy, all the helps, all the kindness, all the teaching, all the preaching, all the everything that is included in the gifts. One of the other commentators, a gentleman by the name of Barclay, pointed out very correctly and very poignantly that every outward act of sin is preceded by an inward act of choice. Therefore, Jesus begins with the evil thought from which the evil action comes. Remember the very first thing that he listed of the 13? Evil thoughts. The excuse, the devil made me do it, doesn't hold water. Flip Wilson is deceased now, but you remember on his TV show, he used to always say that when he was Geraldine, isn't that the character that he played? He cross-dressed and played the character. Geraldine said, the devil made me do it. Now, the devil can't make us do anything. Sin is a choice. We choose the output. We can't always choose the input. Sometimes our environments are beyond our control. We need to try to regulate them as much as we can, but sometimes the environment gets out of our control. So we can't all the time control that. But we all the time, every time, 100% of the time, can control what comes out. We either choose to sin or we choose to do good. We choose to be faithful or we choose to not be faithful. We choose to lie or we choose the truth. It is our choice. So Mark 7:20 packs a powerful wallet, doesn't it? This simple message that Jesus is trying to convey to the disciples hit them very profoundly, because what he's trying to do is direct them toward to the condition of the soul instead of the condition of the person. We get concerned about people's health. We have a long prayer list filled with people that we or people connected to us have added to this prayer list, and we're concerned about their health. We're concerned about their bodies. We spend an awful lot of time praying for their bodies. Where Jesus wants us to focus is on the soul. The body's going to last 100, 105, 110 years at best, at very best. The soul lasts for eternity. And through this simple story and the accusations by the Pharisees of watching the disciples eat with unclean hands, he is revealing to us that we must be focused on the soul. I'll conclude with this quote, again from Barclay's commentary on the word blasphemy. When this is used of words against man, it means slander. So if I falsely accuse somebody of committing a crime, that's slander. If I like a sexual accusation, if I had walked out here and said, well, so-and-so did so-and-so, I knew it wasn't true, but I did it anyway. That's what people do in the news these days. They just report whatever they want to report, and they just keep repeating it till it becomes truth, right? That's called slander. That's just slander against a man. It really can't harm the man other than his reputation, right? It can't harm the man himself, but it can harm his reputation. He goes on to say, but when it is used of words against God, it means blasphemy. It means insulting man or God. When you commit blasphemy against God, you are insulting God. And God doesn't take that lightly. Do you think about that aspect of God very often? I think he's desperately insulted by the condition of America today. I think he is insulted by how we act and what we do and what we allow to happen in this country. I think he's sitting up there, and maybe I'm wrong, I don't know, but maybe I think that he's sitting up there saying, look at what I gave them. And all they do is this. All they do is kill. All they do is murder babies. All they do is destroy and cheat and lie and steal. And he has to be so exasperated with us. Exasperated to no end. Mac, what's the... Turn in your Bible, your hymn books to 312. Maybe we should turn in the Bible to 312. What's on 312? Softly and tenderly. Let's all stand and sing a verse or two of this. Listen, as you think about Mark 7:20, when you leave this place, my challenge to you is this. Focus on your output. Always you should focus on your input too, but don't forget to focus on the output, because it is the output that has the potential of defiling your soul, not the input. So let's all stand together softly and tenderly. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for you and for me. Standing on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Let's sing this last verse together. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised for you and for me. Whom he has sent, he has mercy and pardon for you and for me. Amen. I have a challenge for you as you leave. Memorize Matthew 7:20. Memorize Mark 7:20. Those are two easy verses to remember. What's next? Luke. So look ahead to Luke 7:20. And then you'll be prepared. All right? Be safe. Love you. Mean it. I'll wave goodbye. Wish I could come home.